Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. So good that you're tuning in with us in the Christmas season. Do me a huge favor, visit calvarybible.com/Christmas. Find out what's happening in your neck of the woods. We love that you stay connected and get connected here at Calvary during the Christmas season. Today, we have a wonderful episode with Pastor Thomas Milburn. It's going to be really fun as we jump into the Advent season and talk about John 1. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you throughout the season. Thomas, it's Christmas season.
Yeah, it is, man.
How do you?
It's December, Christmas, dude.
Yeah.
Can you believe that 2024 is about to be wrapped up?
Oh, yeah. It already wrapped up in my world with church calendar. The new year, my friend. Church calendar starts December 1st.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It is pretty good. It's better than pretty good. It's awesome.
All right, so have you already done all your Christmas shopping? Are you one of those people that does all their shopping?
You know,
like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, just click order.
Yeah, I totally get it. Most years, yes.
Yeah.
This year, no.
Yeah,
I know. I'm sort of behind the eight ball on this one this year, but that's okay. We're gonna wrap it up hopefully by the end of this week. Do you get them done before?
We've done that in the past. I think we've really moved towards family adventure after Christmas.
Okay.
No one really gets any presents. Well, I mean, they get presents from, you know, grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and they have like a little sibling secret Santa going on, and
yeah.
they have some cousin stuff. So there's plenty of presents to go around.
Right.
We don't need to add more. So then we just go skiing.
I have tried to talk my family into the Milburn way, and they refuse.
Well, what? I think that the fault is you're trying to talk them into it.
I just do it.
I think you just do it.
Ooh, man, that'd be dangerous. I don't know. There'd be a lot of disappointment on Christmas morning.
The thing is, I mean, like, if
it's not like my kids get a ton of presents, but they want to open presents up.
Yeah, have them, like, open up things that you're also going to use skiing, like a box of Triscuits. You could wrap up all the food you plan on packing for
right.
the week. And they could open up a summer sausage log
yeah.
and Triscuits yeah. and a cheddar ball
yeah.
and all kinds of good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. I've tried to talk to him for 3 years now because I'm like, this is the way.
I think if you just do it one time and you ski for like 5 days
yeah.
and you're in the mountains over New Year's and you're
right.
like, you're watching the New Year's games,
right.
go skiing, come back, and you realize you saved money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know.
You'd never go back, man.
They would never go back. I tried.
Or they could get like new skis. Like they need a new jacket. Or
yeah.
they need new whatever.
That's what's
wrapped up in
yeah.
the stocking or whatever.
That's genius because I usually buy that in October
anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Because my kids every year are sprouting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go to Goodwill, you get the new starter jacket.
Yeah, no.
Dallas Cowboys, I'm assuming.
Yes, totally.
Have you ever skied in a Dallas Cowboys starter jacket?
No, I have not.
I would like to at one time just...
A
do that with jeans? No,
yeah.
with a Dallas Cowboys.
Jeans?
just riffing down the mountain.
It would have to be a bluebird
and
day
just
for
yell,
me.
Like, Texas coming through.
Would you wear a helmet or a cowboy hat?
maybe a cowboy hat helmet.
Yeah, totally.
You think they make those?
I'm sure they do.
If you're listening to the show and you know if they make cowboy hat ski helmets.
You need to drop Thomas a link because he needs one.
I would do it. I totally would.
That's funny. You know, we have a secret Santa on this podcast because I recently, someone on the podcast who
yeah.
knows my love for Swedish Fish delivered another box.
Really?
Anonymously through Amazon.
Nice.
I know. My kids are like, Dad, this you've arrived. This is happening to you.
I will say, I don't know who did this for us, but I was having tacos with Zach Thompson.
Yeah.
So he's the... If you don't know, he's the campus pastor of the Thornton campus. Awesome dude talking about our December series. And then someone had bought our lunch because they recognized us.
Oh, that's really sweet.
And the waitress came by and said, "How your meal's been picked up. Apparently someone who goes to your church bought your lunch."
Oh.
And I was like, "Zach, we've arrived."
It's the simple things in life.
That was amazing.
It is amazing.
Amazing.
That's so generous.
Tastes better even now when I think about
it. Oh, dolly.
Yeah.
You will never forget that day.
Mm,
that's a good
so
day.
Good.
That's a good day. All right, so it's Christmas season. What is your favorite Christmas album?
I don't know if I have one.
What's your favorite Christmas song that's not
Christian based, like secular, like traditional.
I assume it's a Mariah Carey song.
Oh, I want for Christmas. Oh, no, it's not. Oh my gosh. It's not a Garth Brooks song.
I guess you'd have to give me some. I don't even know what that would be. I don't have like a Christmas catalog in my mind.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Although I have, there's a new Thanksgiving song that my kids learned, the Gobble Gobble. 1, 2, 3. Have you heard this?
No, I have not.
I'll teach it to you later.
All right. There's a Gobble Gobble song.
I think it's by Matthew West because he was upset that no one sings Thanksgiving songs.
No, it was. You know, Jingle Bells is a Thanksgiving song?
No.
Yes.
Why?
Written for Thanksgiving.
Why is that?
I don't read all the lyrics through. We'll have our producer pull them up.
I'm going to pull them up right now. No, you keep talking.
Jingle Bells lyrics are written for Thanksgiving. It's a unique.
Jingle bells. Let's see here. Well, this is in some other language.
This is why we don't say these things on the podcast, because someone's like, can y'all just get to the scripture?
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Over the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to sing. Sleighing song tonight. I don't know why this would be Thanksgiving.
There are more lyrics to that?
A gent was riding by in a one-horse open sleigh. He laughed as there... I sprawling lie, but quickly drove away. Do you think they were sprawling lying there because they're in a turkey coma or what?
My kids have told me multiple times that this is a Thanksgiving song.
I guess we'll need ABC to fact check that.
We do. We need our producer to fact check this. Was Thanksgiving written for a Thanksgiving song? History.
You know, this is like live on the air.
I know.
Our listeners are quickly falling off.
They are. The original.
Says, yep.
Yes, however, Crosby, from Bing Crosby, left out the important verse. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank. Fortune seemed his loss. Got drifted in a bank, and then we got up lost. A day or two ago, oh my gosh, I don't know. We're going to have to hit re-record on this.
No, we're moving on.
This is moving on. This is awful.
Everyone, tell everybody you know Jingle Bells is
a... This is a train wreck alive.
It has like Holly on the album. Like, how would that possibly... Yep. That's okay. No one even cares about Thanksgiving anymore.
Yeah.
Did you notice that in Erie?
It's about dashing through the snow to celebrate Thanksgiving, not Christmas.
According to who?
According to News Radio 102.7 FM.
All right. According... So it's read somewhere. You've read that somewhere.
Yeah,
now.
Totally.
Okay. But no one cares. Like, in Erie, have you noticed, like, after Thanksgiving, or sorry, after Halloween, everyone just went all in on Christmas?
Yeah, you know why?
No.
Because Thanksgiving is so far, it moved into Christmas season. It got this year.
Holy cow.
In the calendar.
I couldn't believe it.
We did Thanksgiving, and then Christmas was the weekend of.
I was trying to convince my family not even to put Christmas up.
Oh, my gosh. You definitely wrote Merry Christmas on the back fence.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, totally.
Did you see that I did that with rope lights this year?
No, I didn't.
I changed my lights. It's, like, super bright now.
Good.
Yeah.
The A is a little off.
Dude,
the A is
my kids and I did it, and
you might have to adjust that A.
Some shaky handwriting.
But if people don't know, you can find Thomas's house in Erie, Colorado.
If you'd like to drop off Swedish fish.
Yeah.
Bags of cash. Or other accoutrements for the holidays.
Yes. Tacos.
Tacos would be good.
Yeah. Just look for the Merry Christmas on the back fence.
Or if you just need counseling at 1 o'clock in the morning, swing on by.
Man, okay. But one of the best Christmas songs is Carol of the Bells.
Okay.
Here's why.
Yeah.
No, it's where the bells go dung, dung, dung.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is
from the Home Alone movie.
Well, yeah, I guess so. That is Carol of the Bells is one of the best Christmas.
Did you know I was in a handbell choir?
Oh, no, you weren't.
It was like fifth grade, but
that's awesome.
A big deal. I don't want to brag about it.
That's funny.
Not like a handbell champion.
Yeah. So are we going to have handbells on a Sunday?
Be sweet. King. I just remember like having to put like gloves on.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best. All right.
I can't see fifth grade Thomas doing handbells.
They probably gave me the big one.
Just do it twice.
Just do it twice. Two depths.
That's great.
So that's your favorite Christmas?
Carol the Bells, yeah.
Carol the Bells.
Yeah, definitely.
Not like, Oh Holy Night, Silent
Night.
Well,
we're talking about like just traditional Christmas songs that don't talk about Christ.
Okay.
That's what I was going with that one. Okay. Yeah. But Carol the Bells. So I just realized that John Williams wrote the score for Home Alone recently. The legend himself.
Really?
Yeah. That's why it's so good.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know. But anyways, we'll digress. Let's move on to talking about something about Jesus.
All right, so in all seriousness,
yes,
this is a mixed bag season for people.
Oh, definitely.
Right. Definitely. I mean, like Thanksgiving is too, but I think Christmas specifically, it's like end of the year, you're kind of realizing all the things that you had hoped to come true this year, maybe that didn't come true, or you're just like, man, on cloud nine,
right,
rolling into Christmas.
Yeah. You're around family for Thanksgiving, Christmas, yeah, which has its trappings, heartaches, sorrows, griefs.
Yeah, and there's just people, I mean, if this is your first Christmas without somebody, you've just lived a whole year probably of the first to firsts, which is just a miserable first year.
That's right.
Whenever you lose someone, it's like the first birthday, the first anniversary, and you get to the first Christmas, and you start thinking about people that were around the tree last year that aren't this year. So,
right.
I love that you started us off in Advent with the theme hope.
Yeah.
To say, hey, you need hope.
Totally. I think when you talk about hope, for me, it's always been poorly defined. It's one of those biblical words that I sort of get the definition, but I don't really understand the definition. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Well, do you have the definition you used in front of you?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay.
And I think it's because for so much of culture uses the hope as a definition for political gain.
Yeah.
For political seasons, for also like just in sort of culture itself. And hope is definitely a word which is a biblical word, obviously, and is rich with expectation. Mm. And so when you use it in the Bible, it really sort of deepens and broadens and solidifies who we are and where we're going as a people. Yeah, I said, I gave two actually Christian. I gave a Christian definition.
Yep, then you give a J.
And then I gave a Christ-centered definition. And the Christ-centered one is hope is totally grounded of one's confidence and expectation in Jesus' goodness and providential care, even in the face of trouble, uncertainty, and future outcomes. Here's the thing. I've been a pastor for a long time. Been in ministry for a long time. I think people use the word God to keep him distance in their own life. That's why I choose to use the word Jesus in that definition, because Jesus is a person. He was bodily. We can see him. We can know him in a way in which God is way other and bigger and is not as personable. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Let's get back to that in a second.
So that's why I said Jesus-centered.
Right.
Definition.
It's embodied, right? It's like hope is a person.
Yeah.
It's not a feeling. It's not even an outlook.
No.
It's a person.
And
it's rooted in someone.
Yeah, and it's rooted in his goodness and providential care. Yeah. So,
well, you used two other words in there. You used the word confidence.
Yep.
Right?
And expectation.
And expectation. Yep. And I think how I always think the world uses the word hope, and I think I've used it too, is you're actually desiring something against reality.
Yeah.
Or against expectation.
Right.
So you're assuming this actually isn't possible. Mm-hmm. And so because it's not possible, it shouldn't happen. Therefore, you throw this word like, I hope it does.
So knowing, like, see you running the tables to the Big 12 champion.
Oh my gosh, man.
That's a lot of hope.
I was just hoping they would win against Kansas.
Yeah.
And I knew they weren't.
Right.
But
that's your definition right
there.
I know
Dion's one of our big listeners. Yes. So, Dion, I still love you, man.
Yeah. We're hopeful
win
for
a bowl game.
Next year.
We're hopeful for next year. But the biblical definition of hope removes this idea of uncertainty and inserts certainty.
Right.
Like you actually have a confident certainty that something will happen.
It is a guarantee.
Yeah.
Guarantee.
So that's a totally different kind of hope.
Right.
But if you don't have hope, this is the opposite of hope, I think, is probably despair.
Mm-hmm.
It's your inability to see past a circumstance that just seems like this is never going to change. And so you enter this season with despairing thoughts. Mm-hmm. And what the Christmas season is that God himself became flesh. So let's pick up where you were taking us. That's why Jesus is amazing in John 1, that this logos, this word, takes on flesh and bones.
Okay.
And starts walking around.
The most interesting thing about that word is actually John gives us a new name of Jesus that we probably didn't know. We know by reading it, so the word came, like, okay, that must be figurative.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's literally his name and it's his name before he arrives on earth. So he is the Word before creation.
Yeah.
And that is what John's doing. And that was, I hope I'm explaining that correctly and giving the weight to it, because that was the most surprising thing about that word to me, and to that idea that John gives us. Is John somehow knows Jesus's other name, and nowhere else in the Gospels is that revealed outside of John's Gospel. And that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
That's like, that's why I played the Star Wars theme song, because what John is doing is he's putting you on the edge of your seat, because he is giving you the name of Jesus that you didn't know was the name of Jesus, the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Greek, it's not actually capitalized. It's just logos, because there's no capitalization right. in antiquity. So, but in the English way in which we express it, it's capitalized.
And some people have said, well, John's just using the Greek word
right.
logos to describe the Word.
Right.
But I think the evidence that he's doing something far more than that is his linking up with Genesis 1 in the beginning.
Yes.
Was. And so he's taking Genesis language and wanting that to be connected to Jesus.
Right. No doubt. No doubt. And it's interesting, because when you talk about logos and you study the Word, like even our Greek scholars on staff, which are not me, so yep. like I'm not even close to people. But when you talk to people who study the Greek of logos, the further you go into it, the more complex it is and the more confusing it becomes, because it's such a rich word that John picks up that no one really knows what he's doing except John himself.
Which is, I mean, to your point though, here is the eternally existing God
right.
taking on flesh. And this is adamantly opposed to any sort of Gnostic or even modern, like even like a Mormon idea
yep.
or any other view of Jesus from like a Muslim's perspective or a Buddhist perspective yep. of prophet or good teacher or a God.
Right. A
this
God.
Is yeah. The God of the universe.
Yeah. I should have said a God on Sunday. That would have been probably helpful, because I wanted to, you know, he's at the end of the first century, and the wrestling in which the church is going to have to do for the next probably 200 years past John's writing is understand who Jesus is yeah. within the Trinity. And they have councils and writings for the next 200 years to come up with the solidifying definition that he was God, is God in the beginning.
To clarify, I think, to have a clarifying statement against heretical views of who Jesus
yes,
was.
Yes.
So it's not as though they're giving definition to
right.
Jesus.
That's very good, clear.
These heretics are speaking false doctrine against Jesus.
Right. Saying he was the Son of God, so he's coming out of God.
Right.
And being created by God to be a son.
Right. Or
things
Mother
like that.
God and Father God birthed
yeah.
the Son.
There's all these weird sort yeah. of ideas of what it was.
And so then you have people saying, okay, let's actually articulate what is the Orthodox Christian view of who Jesus revealed himself to be.
Right.
Not that we thought he was, but as he revealed himself.
Right.
And it's, he is the Logos.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that word itself probably should pause, and you should probably fall on your knees when you use that word. That's how big that word is. It's sort of like, it's actually, the only thing I can compare it to is Moses in the burning bush
mm-hmm.
where he says, I am
yeah.
Yahweh. In that moment, Moses is taken back and worshiped. You know, he's yeah. he's worshiping that. That's what John's doing here.
Yeah, it seems like John's point throughout his whole book is, here are the seven I am statements.
Right.
Here are the
seven miracles.
The seven miracles, right. So he wants everyone to understand, this is the identity of Jesus.
Right.
He is the one from the beginning, which...
Yeah.
You just think, gosh, in Genesis 1, God said, spoke, let there be light.
Yeah.
And like, that's the creative agent of Jesus Christ.
Right. If you actually knew, there's a litmus test for knowing who Jesus is. If you were praying and you say you had the worst news ever,
mm-hmm.
just the worst of the worst news, and you said, Jesus, you're the Word, that would bring you into hope immediately. Mm-hmm. That's when you know the definition of Logos.
So how can that help us through the Christmas season?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of amazing realities of what John says about the Logos. Mm-hmm. I use this illustration, and I'm just going to talk about it here, is the Greek view of Logos. I think we still need to go down this rabbit hole a little bit, was that it was how the world worked, sort of the idea of like the Logos was the logic of how the world worked. I gave this illustration of my son and I doing the Millennium Falcon Lego set last Christmas.
I have a Lego advent calendar, if that helps.
That's amazing. My son always wants that. I'm like, I can't do that. But we did that. And actually, that's the Logos on how that Lego system. You read the book. The book is organized, logical, mm-hmm. accurate. Everything you do, if you follow that book, you will create, and follow the pieces, you will create the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. That's the Logos of the Millennium Falcon Lego set.
And I love that you said that sometimes your kids will say there's missing a piece.
Oh.
And I have been there too, my friend.
Yeah. I've had 30 years of experience. They've never done it.
No, I've never experienced like, hold on a second. Let's open the bag again. Let's go through everything.
It's like, I don't know how they do it, but Legos does it. You're like, these are the littlest pieces. There's millions of sets.
But here's okay, real question. Do you always have some extra pieces?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. They buffer. But anyways, and then I said the way in which John is using the Logos is it's a capital L Logos. It's a capital L Legos.
Yeah.
That, I'm going to step that way, where it's the universe of Legos. Mm-hmm. So it's like all the sets that ever have been created, all the sets that will ever be created, all the parts that have ever been, the human beings that create it, the amusement, mm-hmm. the movies, anything that's connected, the building in which it exists in.
How every set could possibly be connected to each other.
Right. Is the Logos, the capital L of Legos. And that's what John is doing here. And what that means for the Christian is this. Jesus Christ is so much larger than your view of him that when you start to expand your view of him, it deepens your hope in who he's going to be in the future. And that's the reality of Christmas, is that not that he just came as a baby, which is miraculous, virgin birth, in a manger in this beautiful town, Bethlehem, had this incredible journey of the human being from Bethlehem to Egypt to Nazareth to the start of his ministry, the baptism in the Jordan. This is incredible. Mm-hmm. However, he is the one who created all of it. Mm-hmm. And was before all of it, and knows all of it, and knows everything that would ever exist in the human experience or story or the universe, and has it all under his control. That's who Jesus Christ is. And what John is doing is he's just blowing out our concept that we would never be able to reach the final definition of Jesus because he is the Logos. Is that a... help you?
That's so, man, I think that's where, if I'm sitting in December with whatever situation I'm in, and the invitation is, would you so surrender your life to be connected to the master builder, the Legos of life?
Yeah.
And the invitation is, he is the one that will take you from wherever your building project is. It could be a total mess, and he would put pieces back together.
Yeah.
Or put it back in a way that you would never imagine. He created you. He can recreate you.
And we'll do it for all for your benefit.
Yes.
And his benefit.
Yes.
Yeah.
For our benefit to his glory. It's just like,
totally.
Abide in me. And so the invitation is come into relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like connect yourself to the Lego set.
Yeah. Totally.
Man, I could sit there for a long time.
Yeah. It. If you read John 1 and it lifts your chin and eyes to the Lord, you're reading it really well.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part, is that the reality of the day is that the world around us, as John says, even John 1 verse 5, is that there's darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it, but we still live in the reality of a muddled view of actually what God is doing in the world. And what Jesus wants to do is to give light to everyone.
I think that's also given a lot of hope for me as we're journeying through our Advent calendar. People can grab that you and the team produced on calvarybible.com.
/Christmas.
And you have your traditional Christmas readings through this story, the narratives, and then you also are paralleling that with Psalm 119.
You know why? Because he was the Word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you just read this, and it's like, man, how can a young person keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your Word.
And then you just think, okay, how do I keep my life in order? You know, how do I keep it blessed? How do I keep it pure? How do I keep it in, you know, in life?
Yeah.
By guarding it according to your Word. What's the clearest expression of your Word is Jesus Christ.
The Word.
Is the Word. Yeah. Right? Totally. So, I don't know. I encourage people to jump into Psalm 119, even if you're not following along with the reading plan, but see how it is that we keep in step with the Word of God, the law of God, the ways of God, and the clearest picture of that is that the Word became flesh.
Totally. How many years have you tried to make Christmas a hopeful Christmas and got to Christmas Eve service and you're like, man, I messed that up?
I think until I read C.S. Lewis, I think I tried to engineer a lot of Christmases.
Yeah.
And then Lewis
talked word, engineer Christmases. That's a good word.
Man. Yeah, engineer, like, you know.
Yeah, totally. I know exactly what
build something.
Yeah.
Whereas he's like, if you're just gazing at something and enjoying it, the moment you're like, I should keep enjoying it, or I should produce more of this joy, it goes away.
That's brilliant.
It's him, right?
Why didn't you give that to me before Sunday? I'm so mad at you now.
That's brilliant. It evaporates.
Yeah.
Once you realize what's going on, you try to continue it or make more of it.
Totally.
It's just like, no, you're just supposed to gaze at the painting.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. So it's like, you look at Jesus, just open up the Word, look at the narrative, enjoy it.
Yeah. That's been a theme of this year, especially if you've heard me preach or even talked about on the podcast, of gazing at Jesus is so fundamental to solidifying our hope.
Yeah. It's just,
and you're right. Once you try to contain it, bottle it up, expedite it,
hold on to
franchise it,
vanish. Yeah.
It disappears.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many years I've tried to engineer Christmas myself and got to Christmas Eve. And the reality is that I want everyone to have a great Christmas.
Yeah.
I want everyone to start their year off right. Like how I'll leave that back in December 1st. Start their year off right in a way in which gives them life. Don't you want a Christmas full of life?
Yeah.
I want a Christmas full of life.
I mean, I maybe encourage people to actually take notice of it, to look around for it, to try to pay attention to what God's up to.
Yeah.
Like last night we had our, a December life group, and everyone brought a little bit of something to share. So we're eating little sandwiches and
including
whatnot.
All the disease and stuff for the Thanksgiving break.
Probably. I was like, hey, there's a dad and a mom over there holding like a ribbon, and kids are trying to throw a candy cane on it, and there are kids running around the house, and parents are over in a corner talking about life, and it's like, this is good.
Yeah.
This is really, really good.
Yeah. I still remember moments in my life where Jesus was amazingly present. Like when my mom lit the Advent candle in our house, all the lights were turned off except for the Advent candle and the Christmas tree. And the background was Kenny G.
Yeah.
Playing some Christmas melody.
Is he playing the oboe? What does he play?
The bassoon? No, the clarinet.
The clarinet.
Yeah. No, the saxophone.
Saxophone?
We need our producer.
Who's Kenny G?
But I, even then, as a kid who didn't know a lot about faith, I felt Jesus' presence, even when I was so far from him. And that's what I want people to experience in Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Like, you should walk in on Christmas Eve. We should light our candles, and we should think about the Logos. Like, man, it's an incredible story that has so much more implication than we ever give it credit for our lives. It's just not a way in which life does better. It is the life in which we live.
It is the life.
Yeah. And I want people to, I want every human being to experience that life.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to end there?
Yeah. I'll leave you with this. Thanks for listening in to us in the Advent season here at Calvary. You can always go to calvarybible.com, find out what's happening in your neck of the woods and what campus you dwell in for the Christmas season. There's so many great things happening. I want to leave you today, Calvary, the people with John 1:14. And this is what John says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we hope, Calvary, that in this season that you will see that Jesus has moved into our neighborhood. He's built a house with us and in us, and that he is full of grace and truth in this season. We hope you step into that reality. And love that you're listening. Like always, you can give us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, as well on YouTube. Ask us a question in the comments. We love getting questions from you. But know that we are praying that you have such a hope-filled Christmas here. And may you just be blessed this week. All right, talk to you soon.